Lord, we thank you, God, for what you've done for us in our hearts and in our souls, Lord. Lord, I thank you, God, that we are alive in you. Hallelujah. Do y'all agree with me in that prayer right now? Father, we thank you, God, that you rose from the dead. Lord, that we get to have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Can we just give the Lord a hand clap? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. How many's glad you're saved? Amen. Hallelujah. Glad you're saved. And so thankful for what God is doing in everybody's life. And it's so good to see everybody smiling and excited in the Lord, happy in the Lord. Glad we're saved. Glad we're growing in God. And we're being sanctified every day, ain't we? Amen. We're growing in God. Hallelujah. So good to see everybody here. And so thankful for spending your part of your day here and worshiping the Lord together. And you're a blessing to me. And I thank God for every one of you. Praise the Lord. Before we get into the word tonight, just want to talk a little bit about the bus ministry. And this morning we went out to the housing department there in Benton, and we got to pray for a lot of people there, and just pray for that little community there, because we prayed for Emma last week, and she passed away this morning. And so keep that community and keep that family in your prayers. And let's just pray for them. And if there's anything we can do for the family, let's just do that, okay? And let's just keep doing outreach, keep reaching out to people, and just be there for them, because they're going through a rough time this morning. So let's keep them in our prayers, okay? And we're also looking for another couple, a husband and wife, to rotate with the bus ministry, going out into the community and just witnessing, because the purpose of the bus ministry is not just picking people up to go to church. That's not even the purpose of it. However, we do not turn that down. The purpose of this is to establish relationships with people in the community and let them know we love them and that we want to be there for them, because the goal is not just getting people to church. The goal is getting them right with God and establishing community. And people convert to community before they do to Christ. And so if we don't show up and actually talk to them, we may miss out on the will of God. All right. So praise God. Just pray about that. I want you to pray with me. If you don't feel led by God to do that, just pray. Just at least help us pray, and let's just pray for this community and pray for everybody. And remember the Overcomers Outreach that's going on every Monday and every Thursday. And I appreciate Johnny and Steve. You can raise your hand. Johnny and Steve, praise the Lord. I thank God for them. And I'll keep praying for GWM, keep praying for Wide Open Ministries, keep praying for these ministries that God will bless them. And pray for the children's volunteers. We're so thankful for the children volunteers, you know, because it is a sacrifice for them to go and minister to the children and take their time and to learn the lessons to prepare and plus be a mom. Or be a dad throughout the week. And so we appreciate you for taking that time to do that. We really appreciate it. So, okay, how many's ready for the word? Amen. Exodus chapter 2, verse 1 through 2. And I've got it marked here so I can turn there and get there before you do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you won't be waiting on me to turn there. Praise God. Exodus chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. And I'll give you time to turn there. Just want to preach simple message this morning. That's what I try to do usually. Is the point is a mother fulfills her role when she dedicates her children to the Lord. A mother fulfills her role and responsibility when she dedicates her children to the Lord. And in Exodus chapter 2, verse 1 through 10, we'll stand for the reading of the word in reverence of God's word. Starting at verse 1. And a man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion, everybody say compassion, on him, and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." And then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And so the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." Ain't that something, that she ended up, Moses' mother ended up getting paid for taking care of her own child. Hallelujah. So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And so she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." Father, bless this word this morning. Thank you for your anointing. We do not preach with enticing words of men's wisdom, but we always want to preach in demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. A mother fulfills her role and responsibility when she dedicates her children to the Lord. Now, I know that it's a lot of times we have a ceremony in order to dedicate children to the Lord, dedicate family to the Lord. But I believe dedication goes further than just a ceremony. Amen? It goes further than it, and it's deeper than that. Dedication to the Lord is your example in front of your children. It's the life you live, the example you set. So important. And the words you speak, that is so important too, your actions and words. And dedication is when you pray for your children ongoing, persistently, consistently. You pray for them. It's not just a one-time event. You pray for God to use them. You pray for them to use the gift that God has given them. You dedicate them to the Lord with your whole life. Amen? And so this passage of Scripture that the Lord put on my heart to preach today is that Moses' mother's name is Jochebed, and that God used her in preserving, delivering Israel from Egyptian bondage. And that all because of a mother's actions, this is cool, this is so cool, all because of a mother's actions, a whole nation was preserved. Hallelujah. Now, the kids, your kids, your children, imagine what God has in store for them and the purpose and the plan that God has in store for them when you fulfill your role as a mother, when you fulfill your role as a parent. Sometimes they get unruly. Of course, yeah, sometimes they say stuff they shouldn't say. Of course, yeah, there's going to be lots of times where you're going to need to discipline your children, and that is part of bringing them up in the admonition of the Lord. And that is called dedication to the Lord. And that you are called to be a witness to them, and you are called to bring them up in church. You are called to bring them up in the Word of God. But I want to go into some background here. In chapter 1, it says that the children of Israel were multiplying. They have been in the wilderness for 400 years, and they needed a deliverer. Joseph has saved the country from famine, but he was eventually forgotten by Egypt. According to chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph." And so the Bible says that the more they afflicted them, the more they grew. I'm just going to read it right here in chapter 1, verse 12. It says, "But the more they afflicted them, the more they grew and multiplied." Now, I'm just going to tell you, I'm just going to put it in park right here, and I'm just going to preach just a little bit on this. You have to go through hard times, and you have to go through some afflictions in order to what? Grow, in order to multiply in your life. Now, I preached last week on persecution, tribulation, and heartache. Listen, you as a Christian, you as a child of God, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that it's going to be a cakewalk, that it's going to be easy following, carrying your cross, following Jesus. It's not an easy thing. There's going to be some trials, there's going to be some hard times and difficulties that you're going to go through. However, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 that God will what? Never leave you, and He will never forsake you. And we've got to remember the promise when we're in the problem. Amen? We got to remember the promise when we're in the problem. So when we're going through these things, we've got to remember that it is an honor to be a partaker of Christ's sufferings. And without affliction, listen, David said, "It was good that I was afflicted, or I would not have known the Lord's statutes." And so it is good that we go through these things. It is good that we go to learn these things, what we go through, because a lot of times we pray the prayer, "Lord, take me from it," but God is wanting to give you the strength to go through it. There's a difference between, and a lot of times we'll pray the prayer, Lord, bring me from it, but God is wanting you to go through it because he's wanting you to grow. He's wanting you to obey. He's wanting you to learn more of him. And I seriously believe that you learn more of God through your tribulations. I seriously believe that you learn more of God through the hard times you go through. I've seen a lot of people, they would never go to God because they said, I've got it made. I'm prosperous. I make all the money in the world. I don't need God. Why would I need God? I got a house. I got this. I got that. And so they're depraved. They're in a sinful condition, and they have no idea of who God is. But when they go through some things, man, when they hit the bottom of the barrel, right, they're just like, man, something's got to change. And so sometimes God allows us to go through these things in order to get our attention. Now, granted, God wants to have a relationship with you, not your 911 number. So he doesn't want to be your 911 number, right? But he wants a relationship with you. But a lot of times God allows us to go through these things to bring us closer to him. All of the biblical characters that we read about in the Word of God went through hard times. David, Paul, I mean, you name them. They went through some difficulties. They went through some persecutions. So how should we respond to these hard times that we go through? How should we respond? We should say, thank the Lord in everything what? Y'all know that verse? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So thank God for the hard times. Listen, you pray when life is rough. You pray when life is great. It is a lifestyle. Prayer and worship is a lifestyle. Listen, God is not some kind of an emergency person. Listen, he wants a relationship with you. Amen, church? And so without difficulty and hardship, there is no growth. And the Egyptians were afraid they would revolt against them, so Pharaoh ordered that all male children, all the male babies, be murdered so they could stop the rapid population. And Moses was born at this time. Now, was it a terrible time or was it an opportune time? I believe, and I know y'all will probably agree with me, that God knew what he was doing when Moses was born. He was raising up a deliverer. Moses was born just at the right time to bring deliverance to Israel. God is always on time. Another note I want to bring out is that the Hebrews didn't tell the Egyptians everything. The midwives didn't kill the male babies as commanded. And Moses' mother kept Moses a secret for 3 months, hid him for 3 months. But I want to tell you this. There's just some things you don't tell the enemy and some people lest they harm you. And so they were keeping back some information from the enemy. Now, can I preach just a little bit right here? Now, sometimes we'll complain, we'll be so negative, and we'll tell the enemy everything we're going through and instead of praying to God. Amen? And we'll give up information. Listen, the devil and the enemy, he's not omniscient. He's not all-knowing. God is all-knowing. Well, if you open up your mouth and you're negative all the time, and you complain, talk, oh, man, my life is terrible. Oh, man, listen, you're actually giving up information to him, and, man, he'll just pound on you and pound on you, and the more you complain, he's just going to take that information you just released to him, and he's just going to pound on your life, and he's just going to keep on beating you up because you're telling him information. You need, listen, keep the information from him. Listen, you're going through a hard time. Pray. Look at your neighbor and say, pray, pray. So they kept back information from them because they feared God. We'll read it right here in chapter 1, verse 17. It says, but the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. Listen, if you're going to win your battles, you can't be complaining all the time and gossiping all the time. What prayer is to God, and I want you all to write this down and try to retain this. What prayer is to God is what complaining is to the devil. What prayer is to God is what complaining is to the devil. Our negativity can be a form of prayer to the enemy. Sometimes you can give up information that isn't good for you that the enemy can use for his own purposes. Does that make sense? Y'all probably say, I've never heard that preached before. Yeah, you can release information. You can release things through your mouth. What does the Bible say? I know y'all know this verse. Death and life is in the power of the tongue, right? And so we have to be careful, be cautious about what we say. We have to be cautious about what comes out of our mouth, our actions, because I'm telling you, you control your destiny in life. All right, so we have to be careful about that. Here's another question. Why do you think Paul called the gospel a mystery? 21 times, Paul used the word mystery 21 times about the kingdom of God and the gospel of Jesus. It had been hidden before, but Christ, the mystery of God, is now revealed. Everybody say, preach on, preacher. God's plan wasn't fully revealed so he could bring redemption to us through his Son. And we find the gospel prophesied about in the Old Testament. We see types and shadows in the Old Testament, but we find the fulfillment in Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'm just going to read that real quick here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 through 8. This is what Paul said. He says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Now listen to this, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And there's just some things that God keeps in mystery form because he is working everything out in his own plan and in his own time. Does that make sense this morning? And so now we have the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. And God has revealed himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. And we know that God works all things out to his good. And that God operated in this principle that he put the gospel in types and shadows in the Old Testament. And it was revealed in the New Testament because God, in his own infinite wisdom, knew what he was doing. And everybody knew, and it was prophesied that Jesus was to be born. Now, I want you to notice the parallels of Jesus and Moses. Moses' mother hid him to escape the slaughter of all male children. And then there was Herod's attempt to slaughter Jesus Christ and all the male children in the New Testament. How remembers that? There's some parallels that go together here. And this is called a type. Everybody say a type. It is a type of what was going to happen in the future. Moses brought the law, but Jesus brought grace. Moses brought deliverance from Egypt, and Jesus brought deliverance from sin. And these are just a few of the types and shadows that are to mention. But Jochebed protected Moses by hiding him for 3 months. And that's the point I want to make to you. A mother protects her children. She was protective of him. A true mother protects her children. She makes sure she knows where they are at all times. She makes sure they are physically fed and spiritually fed. She nourishes her children. She doesn't neglect her children. She will protect her children at all cost. A mother will do everything she can to keep her children from evil. And I believe one of the reasons Jochebed protected Moses is that she knew God had something great prepared for Moses. Now, I don't know if she had known it or not, but God chose Moses to be the deliverer of Israel. He would be God's spokesman along with Aaron. Her protection of him played a role in the deliverance of a nation. Mothers, here's the application. What you do for your children now will matter in the future because God has an amazing plan for them. The child you are raising is a Moses. The child you are raising is a Joshua. The child you're raising is an Esther. The child you're raising, listen, is the prophetess Anna. Listen, you've got to understand that your children, the children you're raising now, what you do for them really, really does matter. When you bring them to church, when they're crying and upset and mad at you, and you bring them to church anyways, listen, you are doing the will of God when you bring them to church, when you discipline them. Listen, when they look at you and say, I ain't doing it, Daddy, and you say, listen, we can't tolerate that in this house. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Listen, when you do these things, listen, husbands, you got to take a firm step. You got to take a step faith and say, no, this is what we're doing. That we're serving God. Hallelujah. And listen, and mothers, when you raise your children up in the admonition of God and you take a firm stand against the enemy and say, you know what? We're not going to let the enemy run us over. We're not going to let Satan run us over. We are going to walk in the will of God and in the word of God. And listen, and if it takes a whipping to get them in line, then praise the Lord. Then I guess we'll just have to do that. Whatever it takes. Whatever the cost is to raise up our children in the admonition of the Lord, listen, we must do this. This is what God has called us to do. Hallelujah. Everybody say discipline. A mother protects her children. She also disciplines her children. When they're out of line, she'll discipline them. That's what a godly mother does. And so what is so interesting here is that Moses' mother trusted the hand of God. She trusted God with her family. Can you imagine putting your child in a basket by the riverbank? Could you imagine this? Put by the riverbank with a chance you may never see your child again. Everybody say faith. I'm telling you, that is faith, to be willing to say, you know what, God, I can't hide him no longer. I can't hide him no longer, so I'm just going to put him in the basket, following the Spirit of God. Now, she may have been led by the Spirit of God, but who knows? She probably didn't know what was going to happen, but she prayed, and she lived by faith. And we're going to read a verse that's going to reinforce that point this morning. And so could you imagine that? She put him there because she trusted the hand of God. She would rather for him to live and fulfill God's purpose than for him to stay with her and die. Wow. She sacrificed for Moses because she trusted God. A mother, a godly mother, always trusts God because they believe God can do more with their child than they can. So they dedicate their babies to the Lord. And because Jochebed trusted God, Moses led Israel out of bondage. If she was not willing to turn her baby over to God, who knows what would have happened to Israel? God, she was led by God to protect her baby and to dedicate her baby and trusted the Lord with her family, all because she trusted God when he was 3 months old, when he couldn't even talk yet. But she knew God had a purpose for him in his life. She was living by faith. She was living by the word of God. She knew God had a purpose for Moses. She knew God had a plan for Moses. Listen, she lived by faith. Everybody say faith. She lived by faith. And the greatest calling, and having said that, the greatest calling is motherhood. I really believe that parenthood, fathers, mothers, raising your children, that's the greatest calling you have, because right there you have the point, you have the advantage of giving them the influence that they need as they grow up. You have the opportunity to create the kind of atmosphere and environment you want them to be raised up in. You have the choice. You can make the choice right now. Listen, you don't have to say, well, since my dad struggled with this, then I guess I'm going to struggle with this. And since my mom struggled with this, I may struggle with it, and my kids may struggle with it. Listen, quit giving up that kind of information to the enemy and start praying and say, thank God, by the blood of Jesus, the curse is broken. Whatever my mom and dad went through, I don't have to go through. I don't have to go through that. Listen, I could pray and thank God and say, Lord, I'm so thankful for what you brought my mom and dad from. But thank God, I don't have to go through that anymore. And my kids, hallelujah, praise God, won't go through that either. I'm going to stand on the word of God. I'm going to plead the blood of Jesus Christ. No matter what kind of addiction runs it, whether it's alcoholism, drug addiction, whatever it may be, praise God, they're not going to go through that. We shall not fear. The Lord is our light and our salvation. We have something to shout about because the curse is broken. Praise God. We have the blessing of Abraham upon our lives that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Thank God. The curse is broken by the blood of Jesus Christ. So quit trying to invite the curse back on you, saying, well, I guess I'm going to go through it because my grandpa went through it, and it just runs right down the line. Listen, you can break a generational curse with the words of your mouth by saying, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ. I will not go through this in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So we see Moses was found by Pharaoh's daughter, and she had compassion on him. And how many knows God is sovereign? God is sovereign, and he is completely in control. He is so in control that he used the enemy to fulfill his purpose. Wow, that's so great. And so whatever I'm going through, whatever enemies I may face, whatever I'm going through, God can use them in order to perform his purpose in my life. Does that make sense? Wow. And so God was using everyone. He is, and I like to say this, he is the great orchestrator. God is sovereign. He's supreme. He's sitting on the throne. The enemy preserved Israel's deliverer, Moses. And I'm just going to tell you, God cannot be beaten. God cannot lose. If God can use the enemy to preserve his will, then we need to trust God in all the circumstances we face. God, you listen to this. I'm going to say it again so it'll get into our spirit. God, if God can use the enemy to preserve his will, then we need to trust him in all of our circumstances. So I'm just going to tell you this. It sounds like a broken record to some of you. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, whether it be with family, whether it be with friends, whether it be the job, whatever it is, whatever you're going through, maybe it's having wrong thoughts, whatever you're going through, listen, if you'll trust God, God can turn all that around and use what is against you in order to perform his will and his purpose in your life. But you got to trust him. Look at your neighbor and say, trust him. Trust God. So, and I believe that's the reason why sometimes in our spiritual life we're up and down, right? How many's ever been that way? We're up and down. But see, you can stay on a steady path. You can stay on a steady path and keep excelling when you understand that God uses the bad and the good in order to perform his will and his purpose in your life. But you got to trust him. Everybody say, trust God. And we trust God to do this. No matter what we're going through, we know God is sovereign. God knows the end from the beginning. I'm going to say it again. God knows the end from the beginning. A godly mother knows this, and she trusts the hand of God. It's like a game of checkers. But God has an answer for every move the opponent takes. He's got an answer for it. He's one step ahead of the game. And this is why we could pray. And this is why we could trust God, because God is always one step ahead of the enemy. Actually, he's all of the steps ahead of the enemy. He knows what he's doing, right? And so we trust God in whatever we're going through. And a mother knows that God is always working his will, and she knows that her prayers avail much. The mother of Moses ended up taking care of Moses and was paid by Egypt to do it. God can use the enemy in order to perform his will in your life. You with me? Whatever you're going through, God can perform his purpose in your life. Trust God with your children and you won't be sorry. Keep praying for them and obey what God wants you to do with your children. Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 23. This goes with Exodus chapter 2. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. And this is what the author of Hebrews says. It says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents. So it was faith that they did this. It was a faith move. So they hid Moses 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not, what does that say, afraid. Glory to God. They were not afraid of the king's command. Now, there is a law that's just been passed that every male baby that is born has to be killed. And they weren't afraid. They weren't afraid. That's what the Bible says. And so, because they didn't live in fear, how many knows there's no fear in love? A mother doesn't fear, is not afraid of what the world will do to her children when she truly trusts the hand of God. You with me? Hallelujah. It says they weren't afraid. You say, well, Pastor, how can you say something like that, that a parent can't fear for the... Listen, when you trust in the love of God, in the hand of God, listen, and you're obeying God, you don't have to be afraid. You say, how can you say that? It's what the Bible says. Everybody say, it's what the Bible says. They were not afraid for their children. They knew God would protect them. You with me this morning? God would protect them. Listen, you cannot live by faith if you are afraid. You cannot live by faith if you are afraid or you worry. We got to live by faith. The Bible says they were not afraid. Listen, I know there's terrible things in the world, and I know there's unfortunate things that happen, but if you don't fear for them, but instead pray for them, God will work his plan in their life. And Moses ended up telling Pharaoh to let my people go. All because of what one mother did. His parents, all because of a mother that was willing to put Moses in a basket and take a chance. Really not taking a chance if you look at it with the whole perspective. From the whole point of view, it was not a chance. Anytime you live by faith, God's going to meet you there. Yeah. But she was willing to do that. And she said, Lord, I don't know what you're going to do right now, but I know you got something in store for this precious child. I know you got something in store for Moses. Hallelujah. And I'm trusting you right now. And since I'm trusting you, I'm going to put him in a basket by the riverbank. And I'm just going to let your will be done. Hallelujah. And Moses grew up in Egypt. But he ended up bringing Israel out of Egypt. Now, mothers, fathers, what you're doing for your children now, raising them up in God, raising them up in the Lord, teaching them holiness. How many believes in holiness? Teaching them discipline, teaching them reverence, teaching them respect. When you do that now, just think what God will do through them when they get older. Not just when they get older, but what God can do through them now. Amen, church. Don't be afraid. Protect your children with the word of God. Trust God with your family. Amen? Trust God. And don't fear. Don't be afraid for your children. God has his hand on their life. Pharaoh ended up drowning with his army in the sea. Moses ended up telling Pharaoh to let my people go. Jesus ended up telling death, hell, and the grave to let his people go, and it let go. Do you see the parallel? And today, if you're not saved, if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, and you want to dedicate your family to God, all you have to do is say, Father, I give my life to you, and Satan, let my family go in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the many things Moses and Jesus had in common was or the mother of Moses and Jesus had in common is that they both trusted God. So I got a question for you mothers. Do you have this in common with them? Do you trust God? Whatever your children are going through, whatever you're going through, your family, do you really trust God? Do you protect your children in love? Are you afraid? Don't be afraid. God has given us his word and his revelation. And he tells every one of us, don't be afraid for your children. You pray for your children. You bless them with your words. Amen? Mothers, do you have this in common with them? Do you know the children God entrusted you with are the children he will use to set people free? Mothers, you have the greatest calling, and that calling is to represent God in the raising of your children. Raise your children the right way. Raise your children up the way God wants you to. And I know there's some of us, the nest is empty. Children are gone. Did you know God raises up spiritual mothers and fathers too? Did you know that? And there are people out there that need a spiritual mother in their life. There are people out there that need a spiritual father in their life to invest in them. Because there's some that didn't have the blessing of a father growing up. And there's some that didn't have the blessing of the mother growing up. And when you take a man or a woman that's walking by faith, and they look and they start and they take someone under their wing and they begin to mentor them and be there for them, that is the greatest calling that a person could have on their life. When you invest in children, invest in people who didn't have that. And there are people right now, even in their 20s and 30s and 40s, they still haven't had the blessing spoken over them. And God is calling men and women to start speaking the blessing over these spiritual children. Amen. And for those of you that are raising children in your home now, in your home, in your family, start speaking the blessing over them. Bless them with your words. Bless them. Say, God, I thank you for the purpose and the plan you've put on their life. Love them. Care for them. Pray for them. Let them hear you pray. You say, well, sometimes it's hard to pray. Just do it. Just do it. Just pray. Just say, Lord, I really don't know what to say. Hallelujah. But I love you. Just pray. Just do something. Just talk to him. Just talk to him. Just say something to God. When I first started praying out loud, I felt like I was fumbling all over my words in front of people. I was I was stuttering a lot, and I just didn't know what to do. And man, I was just so nervous. And listen, but the more you pray, listen, it's not even about the words, it's your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Right? God is more impressed with a shorter prayer that's from the heart than the longest prayer from the mind. Are you with me? Listen, pray for your children. Bless them with your words. Do something for with your actions. And most of all, I believe the best gift, and I know the best gift is salvation through Jesus Christ, but one of the greatest gifts you could do for your family and your children, spend time with them. Take them fishing. Dig up a garden with them. Hallelujah. And maybe play, I guess, an electronic game or something like that. I mean, you know, as long as it's not too gory or anything. But, spend time with each other. Amen, church. Spend time. Get together. Family is so important. Not only is God wanting us to spend time with our children and our spouse, but God is wanting us to spend time together as a family here at church. Because we are not just like an organization or something like that, or some kind of a business deal. Listen, we're actually a family. We're together. We're a family. You with me? We get to know each other. And a family knows the bad and the good about each other, don't they? and so there's we know some of the bad. We know some of the good. And guess what? For some reason, we're still family. I know some bad about so-and-so. Well, what kind of bad you got in your life? Listen, a family, a true family, knows everything they know about each other. You with me? But one thing they know is that they stick together. You with me? They stick together and they rely on God and they keep trusting God. And they follow God's word. And they say, you know what? We're going to stick together, right? This is not what I was going to read this morning. I just want to read this. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family, it's even in the word, isn't it? From whom the whole family, I lost my place, in heaven and earth is named. Wow. So the church is the body of Christ, but we're a family. And family comes together. And even when you make a mistake or you do something bad or you do something wrong, you're still family and you still forgive and you help each other and you pick them up. It doesn't mean you're encouraging them to do wrong again. It doesn't mean that. But it does mean you walk in forgiveness. Amen? God, mothers, God is calling you to live a godly life in front of your children. But not just for your children, but do it for God. Amen? And for fathers, be glad, be happy that your wife wants to pray, that your wife wants to go to church, that she wants to. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Right? Because that means less problems. Can I get an amen? Because it's good. It's good that a spouse wants to pray. It's good that a husband wants to pray. It's good that a wife wants to pray. Come together in prayer. Pray, blessing the Lord, doing the right thing. Because I'm telling you, because a lot of times we think, man, we're missing out in the world. We're missing out a lot of things, right? So, some of you, you're mid-age. The devil's wanting you to go through that midlife crisis type of deal where you got to get a convertible and you got to do this and you got to do that. Listen, guys, listen. God is still going to bless you, and God is still going to use you. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen this morning. Right? And you go through these things. Listen, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But don't let that be a substitute for your relationship with God, because that's the most important thing. And the greatest things in life are not things. The greatest thing is having a relationship with the Lord. A relationship with the Lord. It doesn't matter what you own, what house you live in, where you're at, where you came from, what you've done. You respect God and you reverence God. And I'm just going to tell you, it may be a news flash for some of you, But you can have fun living for God. You can laugh. You can cut up. Amen. You don't have to be a snob, right? You don't have to be, I ain't talking to that old sinner. I ain't talking to that. I can't stand it. They got a potty mouth, and I can't. Listen, you love people, and you're there for them, right? Right? Listen, you're all about love, but you're all about truth. And this is what God has called us to do. He's called us to enjoy. And that's what I want you to do this morning. That's what I want you to do today, this week. I want you to enjoy your time with your family, right? It may be good. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a phone out, right, and taking a selfie, right? There's nothing wrong with that, right? But maybe there might be a good time when you eat at the table, and this is something that Beth likes to. She don't get your phone out while you're eating at the table, right? Right, and so maybe we should put away our phone and just say, you know what, I need to give my, hallelujah, praise the Lord, that scared me. I need to give my, I need to give my strict attention, right? I'll let them get my strict attention to my children, right, to my spouse, undivided. Let me say it like this: undivided attention. And we just bless each other and follow the Lord. And let me tell you something. When you honor mom, dad, when you honor your spouse, when you honor your children, you'll experience the greatest revival you've ever experienced in your life, because you're showing honor to those whom God has put in your responsibility. You'll experience the greatest move of God in your life because you're putting them first. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Praise the Lord. Let's lift our hands together right now. Father, we pray in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you have a plan and a purpose for our lives, that you are sovereign, that you are sitting on the throne, and that you are in control. And Lord, you use whatever circumstances we go through, whatever we go through, whatever we're facing. Lord, you can even use the enemy, and you can use the opposition and the circumstances in order to preserve your will. And Father, I pray that you bless everyone here today. Teach us, God, to enjoy our life. Teach us to enjoy this day. Lord, even as we leave today, teach us to enjoy our family. Teach us to laugh. Teach us to live. Teach us to love. And teach us not to be afraid, and to put our family into your hands and dedicate our family into your hands. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer for anything, this altar is open. I'll pray with you. We have other people here that will pray with you. If you want to bring your family up to the front, that's your choice. If the Lord is telling you, then I would do it if I was you. But if the Lord is calling you to come up to the front to get prayer, I want you to come this morning as they sing, as they worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Blood that runs through my
Just grab someone by the hand right now. We're going to pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, I appreciate the guitar playing. There's anointing in the music this morning. There's such a freeing power in when you play music unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm so thankful for that. Hallelujah. As we're joining hands together, I pray. I'm just going to pray this. This is going to be a simple prayer. I'm not going to try to pray a big old long theological prayer. We're just going to pray a simple prayer that would be in the perfect will of God. Can we pray that? For our children, for our family, we're just going to pray that simple prayer, okay? Father, in Jesus' name, we're agreeing together that we in our relationships, and for those who are single, I pray that we would walk in the perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Lord, that we would submit to you, and I pray for our children that they would walk in the perfect will of God. Every family, every child, every man, woman, we pray the prayer of agreement that we would walk in that perfect will that you have for us. Give us your heart. Give us your mind. Renew our mind and renew our spirit. And Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. How many receives the word this morning? Hallelujah. All the glory goes to God. All the glory goes to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want you to enjoy your day today. I want you to always keep in mind that the Lord has blessed you, and that as you go throughout your day, enjoy what God has given you. We're not going to have service this evening to give people time to spend time with their families and everything. But I want you to be blessed. And if you need prayer for anything, listen, call us. If you need anything or whatever, just call me, text me, call some of the brothers here, some of the sisters here. We're here for each other, ain't we? Hallelujah. You receive the word? Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to put somebody on the spot this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, Brother Russell, could you lead us in prayer this morning as we go? Thank you, brother.
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, we thank
here. I feel the rain of your presence. I feel the wind of your spirit. Now the heartbeat of heaven, let us hear. Let it rain. Let it open the gates.